Time for us to talk a little basketball. To do that, we welcome in our friend John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, and the Locked On Celtics podcast. Hey there, John.
Hey, how's it going, man?
We're doing pretty well, thanks. How's your day so far?
Oh, it's great. About to be better for the next 10 minutes.
Well, yes, absolutely. Here we were talking just a few moments ago. Have they scheduled the parade in Cleveland yet?
Yeah, big summer league championship over there for the Cavs. Certainly, undoubtedly makes up for their early playoff exit. Now everything is okay.
Right. All is forgiven. Things are right in the world. Once again, except with this Jaylen Brown extension. You wrote about it at Boston Sports Journal. The salary cap is messing things up a little bit here.
Yeah, I think this is a deal that might have been done already had things been, you know, under the last collective bargaining agreement. I think because of this one, the Celtics are in a position where the financials are different. The salary cap is going to be going up 10% per year, presumably over the next, maybe even life of the entire collective bargaining agreement. So that makes for something like a trade kicker, which people don't even really know about. But if a guy gets traded, they can ask for a trade kicker and he gets up to a 15% raise when he gets traded. Now, for a guy who's making 8% raises, if the cap is going up by 10%, the possibility of Jaylen Brown getting traded, also a function of this collective bargaining agreement, because the Celtics are going to be too expensive and it's going to be too prohibitive for Brad Stevens. So somebody's going to have to go in fairly soon. Jaylen knows that, and he knows that, hey, if I'm going to move, I should get a trade kicker. And normally, a guy on a max contract, it wouldn't matter because his raises would outpace the salary cap. But now that the salary cap is outpacing the raises, he stands to make more money. And so that's something that is holding things up a little bit. It actually matters, and I think the Celtics might be holding on, trying to negotiate some of these little things. It's been characterized as bells and whistles, but the bells and whistles are louder with this new collective bargaining agreement.
And one of them, as you mentioned, is the player option that can add a pretty big curveball to the whole situation.
Yeah, I mean, he probably wants the same player option that Jason Tatum got. So Tatum's going to be able to opt out from this current deal that he's in, get his next raise a year sooner, his next Supermax a year sooner. And I think Jaylen both wants that, because why wouldn't you? You want the security of the five-year deal, but if the cap has gone up, you know, 40% over the course of the life of your contract, then you might want to hop out and get into the next big payday a year sooner. And also, if he is going to get traded, then why would he commit? He probably wants to say, I want to control my destiny as much as possible. So if I get traded, I want to be able to opt out. If I go to a place, I don't know, let's pick a team out of nowhere, Cleveland, you know, if he doesn't want to be there, then he might say, you know what, I'm going to opt out a year earlier, and I want to get into free agency a year earlier, and I want to be able to go pick my city. So that's something that, hey, if the Celtics do have to trade him, they want to make it as palatable for the trade partner as possible. So these things, even if the Celtics say, hey, you know, we're okay with it, they might want to fight back on some of it just so they can make it a little bit easier to trade him if they need to.
So does this new CBA, John, give players less flexibility, less control than they had in the past?
I don't think it gives them less control. It makes the player movement, I think, a little bit more likely. The money is so high now that I think some of these superstar players, I have to go over and see some of these finer points. I don't think requesting a trade is a problem anymore. Like, I think guys are going to still be able to request their trades. But teams are, it's going to be harder to trade these guys. It's going to be harder for a team like the Celtics trading Jaylen Brown, they're going to have to, it just makes the window for trading these guys a little bit tougher. So it is a little bit more difficult for players to come in and say, hey, trade me, and I only want to go here. And it's not going to be as possible because teams are going to be handcuffed financially to a point where they're not going to be able to dictate their destinations quite as much. So I guess in that regard, they do lose a little bit of control as well. I think everybody loses a little bit of control in this new collective bargaining agreement. It really is going to be a turning of teams. And by the time a player says, I think I want out, it might be time for him to get traded anyway, because of the way that this collective bargaining agreement is making things restrictive at the top.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. We mentioned Cleveland won the Summer League. The Celtics finished with a nice victory over the Orlando Magic. What did we learn about the Celtics, if anything, from the Summer League this year?
I think if we're talking about what applies to this upcoming season, the one thing that I'm very curious about is how much zone that they played in Summer League. I don't think Tony Dobbins, who was an assistant coach for the Celtics and was running that Summer League team, I don't think he just pulled it out of nowhere. I don't think they wasted these guys' time saying, hey, we're going to play a 2-3 zone, or we're going to play this zone defense, and just for nothing. I think the Celtics probably wanted to get these guys a little bit of exposure to it so they kind of know what to expect. And I think it's a signal to the rest of the guys, hey, let's keep zone defense in the back of your heads, because the way the team is constructed now, especially with Robert Williams, Kristaps Porzingis, and Al Horford, I think a zone defense is going to be potentially really a really good option for the Celtics. They did lose some versatility in Marcus Smart and Grant Williams, so a zone kind of brings some of that back. I think that's my biggest takeaway. And then player-wise, I like Jordan Walsh. I think he's a guy that everyone up in Maine should probably enjoy, especially his defense, because he's going to spend a lot of time in Portland. But he has the potential to, I don't know, maybe earn a little bit of time by the end of the season. He's got a lot to work on. He's still a really thin guy. He's still really young. He's only 19. But he showed a lot more than I expected. He was definitely a nice little surprise. So he passed his first NBA test. I think there is the potential for later in the season, maybe getting him what I call some specialty minutes, which is, late game defense to offense kind of substitutions. He has the potential to be an NBA level defender fairly quickly, definitely more quickly than his offense anyway. So that's going to be a potential thing to watch as well.
And, of course, it earned a two-way contract for the most appropriately or uncomfortably named two-way player of all time, Jay Scrubb.
Yes. It's tough to be named Scrubb as a basketball player. But he continued to show some versatility as a scorer. I thought he did a nice job. I thought he earned his two-way deal. I thought that was something that was definitely possible as the summer kind of went on. I thought he had some real strong scoring performances. I thought that the versatility with which he was scoring was impressive. And so giving him a chance to kind of grow in the Celtics system, that was pretty evident early on that he had that opportunity. I don't know where he's going to go from there. I don't know if he's going to be able to build on that. The Celtics certainly hope so, but it's nice to have a potential kind of scorer coming off the bench if they need him, especially late in the game, late in the season, when guys might be getting some rest and some games off. He could be a guy that you throw the ball to and say, hey, score us a few points. You got a little bit of a green light. And him, same thing with Justin Champagne. I think those guys have a little bit of scoring ability there that could be helpful down the road.
I just hope, every time he comes in the game, they don't play TLC on the PA.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I was waiting to use that headline if he got cut, but he stuck around. So that's going to be that's a hell of a motivating factor you know, to right. make sure that that song is never played in conjunction to you as a basketball player, that would drive me a lot.
Right, right. But you file that away, you may be able to use that down the road.
That's right.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, Locked On Celtics podcast. John, thanks as always. Have a good week, and we'll check in next Tuesday.
All right. I'll talk to you then.